This week on Rain on Your Parade, we discuss, will Biden get reelected, and why doesn't anybody care about Trump's trial? Welcome back, everybody, to Rain on Your Parade with J.L. Covan. I'm J.L. Covan, sweaty as fuck, here with producer Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hi, JL. Hi, everybody. I used the 35 millimeter. It's a closer shot on you because I wanted the world to see the beads of sweat dripping from your forehead.
It's a good thing I have a rigorous skin regimen.
You have good skin, man.
Well, you know what? That's what happens, when the Haitians and Irish get together. It's
right.
It's a common science. You know, people generally well known. I'm surprised you don't know this.
What?
The Irish and Haitian mix makes for great skin. That's like pretty basic in the skincare community.
Yeah, everybody's always talked about that.
Mike, I am sweating. Some of it's fat, some of it's anger, of course.
Yes.
These are the two constants. But the third element that has me a little extra worked up today is I was on my way in on my usual, we're doing the evening recording.
My favorite.
I'm back working.
Yeah.
And thank you to all the fans, by the way. That's you are the main reason why I'm back working a day job. And by the way, update on Half Blackface. We had 8 reviews last time. I have a very impassioned plea for more reviews and more views last week.
How many did you get?
We're up to 18 reviews.
Hey, that's pretty good.
I know. So out of 200,000 total people following me as fans on social media, that represents 10 is, well, we know it's less than 1%. It's like a fraction of a fraction of a percent. So thank you, everybody, for picking up the slack there. So we're doing good.
Yeah.
But continue, please watch it, share it, review it, or don't. I want to, that's where I can be right.
Yeah.
If I throw in the or don't, either way, I'm right.
And that's the thing that's going to keep my business afloat.
Yeah.
Because you being right.
Yeah. But yes, that was just a little add on from last week. But I was racing here because I was on my usual 443 train, New Jersey Transit.
Mm-hmm.
Pound for pound, worst transit system in America, as
easily,
far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah. It's bad.
And I hate when people are like, Long Island, shut the fuck up.
It's not
shut
worse.
Up.
It's shut, not worse.
It's not nothing.
Yeah.
It is when I moved to New Jersey, I liked our place. I liked that I was taking another step with Laura. I liked that I was going to be close to my brother's family and that she would be close to her brother's family.
Sure.
And I said, there's one thing, and it's not a small thing. New Jersey Transit. And at the time I had a job at a law firm in Manhattan and there was no COVID yet. So that was a 5-day commute. And I said, that's the thing, because that's going to eat at me. And it does. It's a horrible system. The trains suck. The mechanical equipment sucks. Because of Chris Christie, the tunnels are fucked up because we were supposed to by now have like the new gateway tunnel that would have created more lanes for train traffic. But because it was Obama and that, you know, back in simpler times, Republicans were still dumb cunts who were like, the black guy? No, thanks. I want to be president one day. Fuck you, N-word. Yeah. And it was like, oh, that's my guy. Oh, no. But Trump showed up and he out N-worded every other Republican.
Yeah, isn't that a shame?
Those are the breaks, you fat fuck. So anyway, the train system sucks, but I'm on the 443. I've had no problems with this train so far during our evening sessions.
Yeah.
Well, you know, here we go. We get into Secaucus on time, and that's a bit when the train's on time. Oh boy, that's them. That's they're tickling the balls there before they bite your dick off. So we get there and all of a sudden the train power goes out.
Yeah.
No power. So it was time to go to the train in Secaucus Junction, which is the most needlessly confusing train station also in America.
Oh, yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
And it's named after Frank Lautenberg, deceased senator from New Jersey, who was the stepfather to two girls that went to my high school around, not in my class, but around my age. Because Riverdale Country School, that's the talent you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
Second wives to power players. So I get down to go to this level, take the train to Hoboken, then get the path. Then I can get the path to 14th Street, take it, catch the L, et cetera. Fun adventures. I'm sitting in my seat in the train to Hoboken. I'm sitting on the aisle seat because I'm a fucking giant and those seats are not made for me. So I like to, I don't take up the second seat, but I kind of lean into the aisle.
Yeah.
So at least one of my legs isn't crippled.
Right.
So I'm sitting there. It's starting to get crowded. I like take my book and hold it just to let you know, give the signal this seat is open.
Yeah.
So this guy who's kind of giving off Timothy Chalamet energy, if Timothy Chalamet were ugly and had tons of acne, mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, could you just slide over there? Now he's asking for his chick, who's not a bad looking woman, but you know, tatted up. It's like, what are you, 19? How the fuck do you have like 14 tattoos, you Jersey trash whore? And
oh, come on.
No. No. So he goes, could you slide over? And I go, I'll get up. She can sit here. He goes, oh, okay. So you have to have the aisle seat.
Oh, wow.
And I just,
so they wanted you to slide in.
I said, yes, I do need the aisle seat. And I'm like, I stood up. Do you not see me? I could fucking eat you, Chalamet, mm-hmm. ugly Chalamet. I could eat you and break this STD of the future factory over my knee. So show some fucking respect. I'm doing you the courtesy. You fucking kindling. You are kindling to me. I could make a fucking campfire with you two skinny heroin looking pieces of shit. So I get up. She slides in. This is like, obviously I violated some sort of dumb code. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I've thought this out too much. So she looks over and says, thank you to him for like fucking Sir Walter Raleigh threw down his cape over the puddle that is J.L. Covan. And she traversed it to safety because of ugly Chalamet's, just chivalry.
Mm-hmm.
So that got me in a good mood for the show because it was so weird when I stood up. Of course, I wasn't standing up to flex on them. I was standing up to let her in.
Yeah.
You can't do the math that these seats suck.
Yeah.
And I'm like half in the aisle because I'm a fucking giant.
Yeah.
But, you know, stupid is as stupid does, as Forrest Gump said. So that was that. Then I get on the L train and I see some dude with like his pit bull mix. And then I went, you know, I go to extremes, to quote Billy Joel. I only will quote the bad Billy Joel to you.
I like that song.
Okay. you felt like somebody who would disregard his later work in toto.
No, I like his, and I like that music video where it's like, it's kind of a guilty pleasure because he's like old guy Billy Joel,
yeah.
Like midlife crisis Billy Joel. But I kind of dig it. I don't know. I like that song. I think it's kind of fun. It's like a time and place for me. Okay. You know?
Sure. Oh, like Viva La Vida for me.
Yeah, Coldplay, right,
and
right.
Timbaland, 2008,
right.
Baby.
Right.
So I now am in like, I'm like fired up, angry still, just from what felt like such a dumb interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And just enough of a Salt Bay disrespect, though, mm-hmm. thrown in. Thank you. Oh, yes. The monster has moved because of brave stick figure. So then I'm looking at this pit bull. This guy has a pit bull. And now I start feeling bad because I'm looking at this dog. Her ribs are showing a little bit, but that's not like unhealthy. Like a dog that's in shape, you can see the ribs a little bit.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, Sarah McLachlan commercial.
Yeah, yeah.
But
beach season.
But the claws are so long on this dog and she just has a look and her nipples are all huge. And I'm like, is this like dog a fucking breeder for fighting or something? And then I was like, so sad. I think I had wasted all my anger on Mr. and Mrs. Shitty May on the New Jersey that now I wanted to be angry here, but it was like depleted. So I was just sad looking at this dog. And then I got off the train and said, let's do some podcasting.
Wait. So why do you have to carry anger from one train to the other?
Well, it just does. I mean, you turn off an oven, Mike.
Uh-huh.
You don't touch it right away.
Okay.
It's got to cool.
I got it. Okay. Understood.
500 degrees.
It's just the way that you phrased it. I was like, why? Like the anger was like, I was all used up. I didn't have enough anger left, but I would have loved to have been angry.
Yeah. Yeah. See, my motto, you know, like the Hulk is you won't like me when I'm angry, but you probably won't like me when I'm not angry also.
Right.
Okay. I one up the Hulk there. Right.
So you might as well destroy the train and eat this woman.
Yeah. I mean, I have one other story. The fun story. I told you there was one fun story.
Can't wait.
I was on the PATH train this weekend. I was going to a book event of a fan and a friend. Who his mother survived the Holocaust. They do a true crime podcast. So it was at this Holocaust sort of museum center in Battery Park.
Okay.
Beautiful view. And yeah. I have a slight anti-Semitic thought where I was like, well, of course they got the best property for this museum. Because it was like stunning. And I was like,
yeah,
man, how much did this? Can I say that out loud here? I just mean it looks expensive. I didn't mean like you guys got it.
Yeah.
Cause.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
sure.
it was a fun event. But of course I had to take the path in because the trains were fucked up. New Jersey Transit once again involved.
Of course.
And on the path though, getting off the path, I remember seeing it was, you know, pretty crowded. I had a book, as I always do, try to set an example for the kids.
Yes.
And people go, does reading make you angry? Maybe I shouldn't read. And the only two other people in a very crowded train where everybody was on their phones, half of them were just listening to content with no headphones. You know, my favorite thing. I told Laura, can we make a sequel to Falling Down starring me? Have you seen Falling Down?
It's just going to be called The News one day.
Well,
with you.
But it's like, I thought to myself, I could do a sketch like Falling Down 2. Which is like you go to a movie and everybody's texting while you're just trying to watch the movie after they said, don't, you know, nobody has headphones.
Yeah.
Nobody says, thank you. Nobody says, excuse me. Like it's bad.
Yeah.
But the only other two people on the train with books were two Asian kids, like under the age of 10 with their parents. And then they looked at me and one of them said, don't get high on your own supply, and then put on an Apple work vest.
What does that mean?
Like he was going to the factory to work on iPhones.
So don't get high on your own supply.
I mean, he was like building iPhones. So that's why he's not on his phone. That's why he's reading.
Ah,
okay. Yeah, it didn't work. It didn't work.
Got it.
But that's what I thought. I thought, look at these two kids. They know.
Yeah.
They've probably built iPhones. They know how dangerous they are.
Sure.
So they were like, nope, analog.
Yeah, yeah.
Just learning. Going to advance past all these gringos. And it's not really gringos. It's everybody in this country. We are in trouble. All right. That joke failed. But we'll rework it at some point for the tens who come to see me perform.
I only had a few minutes off the train, folks. Cut the man some slack.
Please do. I was going to do a new segment, JL's Gambling Villain of the Week.
Okay.
I meant to do that last week, but we're a little in a time crunch thanks to New Jersey Transit. So that may be a future as I continue to gamble.
I like that idea.
Yeah. And let me just tell you, the gambling heroes of the week are Chris Kreider and Naz Reid.
Of course. I know you love gambling on Chris Kreider, the captain.
Chris Kreider is just like, fuck you, Panarin.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris Kreider, that's my guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Chris Kreider kept my big bet. My big bet is still alive. T-Wolves to win the title, Rangers to win the title, parlay. $100 bet, $8,200 payout.
That'd be good.
If that happens. Now, my threshold is if it gets over 1,000. Mm-hmm. Like, in other words, if both of them make the finals, I want to see what that offer is. But I think I'm just going to let it ride. What's the 800 or 900 bucks? Sure, that's good. I have a job. I can make that next week.
Stop
the bragging. The fun is in, and I'm also going to write a book called The Useless Lawyer, which is going to be a takedown of the legal profession as it is right now. But the point is, what's the fun? The fun is
risking it all.
Well, just the doing it for the big payout.
Yeah.
You know, as Tom Sizemore, the late Tom Sizemore says, the action is the juice. Mm-hmm. So if we ever had a graphic for JL's gambling segment, it'd be like a lot of Adam Sandler uncut gems. And it would end with Tom Sizemore going, for me, the action is the juice.
Yeah.
And then you just show my list of losses on FanDuel and DraftKings.
I've seen enough to know.
No, but like, for instance, just to get, there was one bet I showed you, and then we'll go to break. We're going to talk about Trump's trial on this episode. Yay, algorithm, JL, we only like him for Trump. Well, there you go. There was the one bet where I needed, who was it? Jaylen Brown to hit like three threes and I would have won like $11,000.
Something like that. Yeah.
Like four things hit for me.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown, zero threes.
Yeah, but that's why you don't bet five leg parlays for JL.
Yeah.
Because they never hit.
And then the next game he hits like five.
I know, but that's the point. They are so good at getting people's money at this point.
Some of them I do myself. I don't just pick the prepackaged ones.
I know, but it's still, I mean, the way that they make these lines, like they're you don't get a lot of value anymore. Because you got to think about how scary it is that gambling in and of itself was a scary thing when it was illegal and you had to do it through a bookie. But now it's corporatized. And all the guys that are making these bets, a lot of them are like MIT graduates and shit. You know, they know how to fuck you over.
Yeah. They should work for New Jersey Transit.
Yeah, they really should.
And on that slick callback in Slickback Studios,
hey.
We're going to take a break and we'll be back to discuss Trump's hush money trial. Hey. And we're back. Mike. You always have a great break, but how was this break?
The break's my favorite part of the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah. That brief thunderclap that everybody hears, they go, thank God. Is it? Oh God, he's back. Fuck. He didn't even get ads this week. So he's just back.
Yeah.
Yikes. Couple things before we get into the main portion of the show. I have shows coming up, live shows, Larchmont, New York, this Saturday. In June, I'm at Mohegan Sun with the one and only Jay Nogg doing a live Making Podcast Great Again.
Mm-hmm.
August, not sure. September, I'm in St. Paul, Minnesota and Rutherford, New Jersey, very close to where I live. All the Jersey people who are fans of mine. Oh, when do you have a show? This is it. If you don't show up, there's going to be problems.
Yeah.
Rutherford, New Jersey, September 28th, then New York City live show, October 11th. So, and we're filling in a lot more stuff.
Where's talks, that?
Triad Theater on the West 70s.
I'll come to that.
No, you won't.
Yeah,
and
I will.
Then,
remind me. I'll go.
I will remind you. Hey, Mike, October 11th.
Tell me in like September, and I'll make sure I have, awesome. I go there.
Will you bring a date?
We'll see. Maybe. I don't know if I'll have a date.
All right. I mean, tell them, you know, if you're interested in dating a 65-year-old or older, you tell them you're coming to see me. They'll be like, yes.
Yeah.
So those are the live shows. More being added. Philly, I'm looking at possible Philly date for me, not for the Making Podcast Great Again in August. So jlcomedy.com, go to the calendar page, peruse the website. Lots of good stuff. And while we're doing housekeeping,
yes,
obviously, we're loving the engagement on YouTube for the show. Whether you are an audio listener or YouTube, the YouTube views are pretty, with exceptions here or there, going up. People seem to be engaging more and more with the YouTube.
Yeah, and we haven't had a lot of punch downs yet in the YouTube, which is nice. We were kind of expecting some people to throw some comments in there that we were just kind of like, oh boy.
I think it shows that a lot of them are real fans in that they know to fear me.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
Would you rather be loved or feared?
Right.
Well, like A Bronx Tale, I think we all know what my answer is.
Yes. But if you are a YouTube watcher and listener, leaving the comments definitely helps us. Liking the video definitely helps us kind of boost the algorithm, get to more people. So thank you for doing that. And please keep doing that. And we interact with people when they leave comments that are worth interacting with.
Yeah.
Like, we're out there.
I want to make a better effort at doing that because sometimes I give it a heart but like you lose track. Sometimes you have to like sit down and actually scroll through and I'm a very busy, busy man.
Of course. You're taking three trains to get places and they're always breaking.
And if you were a YouTube viewer, obviously that doesn't preclude you though from giving us a nice review on Spotify or Apple.
Tell a friend
and vice versa. If you are, one of our very loyal listeners in audio form, and I think I've seen people do this where they kind of drop in on the video to leave a comment or a question. So it's working. Just keep doing it. And while you're doing that, for God's sakes, watch Half Blackface on Amazon Prime or Tubi and leave a review on Amazon Prime. Thank you. Housekeeping done.
Yep. Begging over.
None of you are joining my Patreon. We're not going to even pretend on that one. So let's talk about Trump's trial. As a former, and for this segment, I'd like to be referred to as former prosecutor J.O. Covan, which I am.
Yeah.
Quoted in the New York Times this week about Trump's trial.
Were you?
I was.
Who asked?
Jesse McKinley.
Okay.
Writer for the New York Times. Go figure.
Yeah. right.
But he just wanted my take. I had him rolling on the phone. And then I remember him saying, obviously, more than half of this I cannot use. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but you're laughing. And that's what counts.
Sure.
But I referred to Trump as the white OJ. And that's kind of how I feel about this entire first trial. I was going to go on a biblical rant like Jules in Pulp Fiction in the earlier segment, but I thought let's keep the intro clean, other than my one failed joke about Asian kids. But there is something, this trial is exposing, the same way the OJ trial exposed a lot of things about America. And oh my God, the fact that that was pre-social media and whatnot.
I know.
And was able to, you know, maybe that was in a way why it was able to captivate as well.
Yeah.
It would have fueled it more. And I think I said this to somebody, but it's I'm paraphrasing an Adam Carolla thing, but, and I kind of adopted my own version where it's like, it's never been a worse time to do something bad.
Right now.
Yeah. But it's also never been a good, better time to do something really horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in other words, we have a 3-day max to absorb.
Right.
You raped 19 puppies. Well, you're going to have a terrible week.
Yeah.
Oh, you made an inappropriate joke at a work function in Toledo and somebody filmed it and put it on the internet. Boy, you're going to want to kill yourself within 5 days.
Yeah.
Like, and then it just kind of, then we go like, and with Trump, he is, I think, a beneficiary of, in some ways, the dumbest, worst collection of people America's ever produced.
Yeah.
On a curve, grading on a curve, because people will be like, well, we don't have slavery, we don't have this. Donald Trump, to me, is a guy who, if you put him in any era, he'd be the worst guy. So like, like if he were a founding father from New York,
yeah,
he'd be like, why, you gotta, you know what you have to do? Excuse me, separate the families. When you sell the slaves, they have to respect you. Look at that. You gotta separate. I have a policy. Always separate that. Like, even like the hardcore dudes from like South Carolina would be like, always?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have to.
Yeah.
I will. Hey, feller, I will. I don't respect these beasts of burden, but I don't see a reason to.
Yikes.
Well, you're weak. You're weak. I separate them as a policy.
So wait, can I get, all right, I like this game. Can I give you an era and you do Trump in that era? Okay. Let's do Industrial Revolution Trump.
When was that?
1905, 1910, turn of the century.
So I want to build, what I like right now is we're thinking of moving our factories to the south where we can capture people. We call it crimes. And we can make them work like slaves, but we don't own them. So it's actually better. It's actually better when you think about it, because it's free labor. And if they die, guess what? Excuse me, officer, could you arrest? I see a black standing there doing something. Loitering, I think, is a death penalty crime. But tell him we'll let him off if he works 12 years in the Trump factory. So very good. And excuse me, I need to go rape a woman because that is not a crime in this time, according to me.
I love that. Oh, it's great.
Oh, just one era?
I can give you one more.
Give me one more. And then
I want Trump during the American Revolution.
Okay. Okay, I'm talking to my friend Thaddeus. He's a British soldier. He's getting messages back to King George for me that I am very amenable to becoming a leader under the British rule. And I'm totally willing to betray the founding fathers. And, you know, it's really me. I'm really the founding father. These people, they know I came up with the Constitution. But, you know, I don't like how they're treating me. They're not treating me well. They're not showing me great respect. You know, Hancock?
Yeah.
Didn't he sign that? Who was the guy who signed a big?
John Hancock. Yeah.
But big signature. He didn't leave any room for me. So because of that disrespect, I'm willing to give you all the battle plans that Washington has as long as I get more slaves and very large mansions and I'm declared leader of the colonies. But obviously, if you don't take my offer, I'll simply, this never happened. And we're very patriotic, very strong patriots here. Boston Tea Party. I don't like tea, though. I don't like tea. It's a stupid beverage. Anyway, in other words, I think he'd be the worst person in any era. And I think his followers on a curve are like the worst. Like, you're like this in 2024? Oh. You're garbage.
Yeah.
You are garbage people. Yeah. But I think there is a lot of garbage in our society now. And I don't want to get into the, hey, we need religion. but I am a I'm a firm believer that I'm a sensible enough person to go, oh, it's not necessarily religion, but what religion fulfills in our society as far as a social, you know. And I know we've talked about this before, and you're like, no, there's a lot of people. No, I don't think we have an adequate replacement. If you want to be super secular and condemn organized religion, I do not think we have a sufficient replacement for the needs of human beings as social beings. The way we have evolved, the way we have developed as people, I think we are all rapidly undoing who we are as people. Now, the reason I bring that in terms of technology, in terms of I'm in a community, but also super isolated at the same time. And the reason I bring that up is I look at the Trump trial, and a lot of the media reports are, it's not resonating with people. It's not having the impact people thought it would. And some of that is the fact that it's not televised. I think if it were televised, I do think it would have a much bigger impact because people would want to watch. They would want to gawk at Trump and see his responses and see what Michael Cohen's testimony is. Having CNN people like relay what's going on like a game of telephone is bad TV.
I got to be honest, man. I don't think that would make any difference. I not to give too much away before you finish your point, but I just think a lot of people, we've talked about it briefly on the show, but like, I think there's real serious Trump fatigue in the sense that the New York Times had run something a couple months ago that even liberal people, they've just kind of like waved the white flag.
Yeah.
I think now a lot of liberals are also just like, he'll probably win. Despite all the things that are going on. And I know that we talked about this months ago.
No, and I think it's a good point you bring up because part of me is thinking I would still bet Joe Biden, but not as confidently. I wouldn't make a Chris Kreider Joe Biden parlay bet right now.
Certainly not, man.
Kreider's all good.
Yeah.
Kreider's got me.
That's a guy we like. We like him.
Kreider Biden, if Biden were to step down to VP,
to VP and
Chris Kreider president.
Now that's a ticket I can vote
Stanley
for.
Stanley Cup presidency. Has anybody ever done that in the same year? I don't think so. I'm a student of history and I'm pretty sure that's never happened.
There's a chance we could have Kreider Biden and Kennedy Rogers in the same election.
Wow.
That would be some shit.
And I think Kreider would take out Rogers.
Oh yeah. You know,
tougher guy, yeah. Not a tougher sport because football's got plenty of violent, yes, tough guys.
It's tough though.
But no, I'm saying Kreider versus Rogers. I like Kreider.
Yeah.
But no. And I think that is the Trump trial to me is sort of, there's two things main things I want to get out. But since you brought up the fatigue issue.
Yeah.
You know, I'm an integrity guy.
Mm-hmm. So does the audience.
And you can not be a good citizen or a good person. I went there, hottest of takes, and have fatigue over a wannabe tyrant who wants to destroy our democracy. And I know some people, like, I'm not talking to the MAGA people who go, he's going to restore our democracy. I just saw a series, and I know I'm doing the thing, but it's related. Did you ever see Midnight Mass on Netflix?
Mm-mm.
Highly recommend. I have watched multiple series from this guy. It's been recommended. I forget his name, but he's done tons of Netflix stuff, like The Haunted House at Bly Manor or something. And then he did a recent series that was based on Edgar Allan Poe stories. Hated them both.
Okay, got it.
But Midnight Mass was the one that people kept saying, no, this one's great. And I said, let me see. Because maybe Midnight Mass is the one that got everybody sort of like, when's his next thing? What's he doing? And what's great about Midnight Mass, and I'm spoiling it here, so if you haven't seen it and you want to watch it, I'm giving away a little bit of the story. But a priest thinks he's been touched by an angel, you know, and he's working miracles and doing these things. And what you realize is halfway through the series, he was murdered by a vampire.
What? What? What the fuck is this?
And brought back to life. He's basically a vampire.
Okay.
But he thinks, you know, big ancient vampire with big wings and like tall, like he thinks it's like a frightening angel of God, like an archangel who's like, oh, you know, and citing scripture where he's like, you know, and they looked upon the angel and trembled with fear. And he said, fear not. And now he can work these miracles. And it turned back the clock on his aging. And it's not till towards the end that he is kind of like, oh, I'm the bad. Like this is bad.
Right.
Like sure. I understand why he thought what he thought. You know what I mean?
Right.
But in the end, he realizes this is evil. This is bad. I didn't do it on purpose. But, and with Trump people, it's like, they'll never have that wake up call. They're just like, oh my God, he's bringing back America. He's mm-hmm. going to win. And it's like, they'll never have the wake up call where they go, oh my God, I'm the piece of shit. Mm-hmm. That's what I liked about Daredevil, the Netflix series, when Kingpin has that epiphany. Like, he doesn't start thinking he's the bad guy. He realizes like 2/3 of the way through the season, like, I'm the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yes,
yeah.
But that's so cool because you're getting it from his perspective where he's like, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm building, I'm making the tough, hard decisions to build up a city.
Yeah.
And he realizes, oh, I'm the bad guy. Now I'll embrace that. They'll never realize that, the MAGA people, but they are the bad guys. So I'm not talking to them, but the idea of having Trump fatigue, we don't care anymore. We don't care. And it's not just Trump. If you can't care about democracy, about people's rights, when it's so in front of you, is that the secret to becoming a dictator in America? Just wear out people's patience with more bad things.
That is, yes.
Because it's not like Trump like laid back and was like, Nixon laid back in the cut and made a comeback at the right time, opportunistic time. He didn't commit crimes and like have rape trials from like 60 to 68.
Yeah.
Like, and we have fundamentally changed because in 74, Republicans went to Richard Nixon and said, we don't have your back, bro.
Yeah. Get out of here. Yeah.
And he did.
Yes.
Like, it was this gentleman's agreement.
Well, we've talked about this Nixon thing on the show before, where the difference is that Nixon had a lot of respect for the office of the presidency. He cared about being president. It was important to him. The history of the office meant a lot, where Trump doesn't give a fuck about any of that stuff. And to piggyback like a little bit off of what you were saying,
citizens don't either. That is the real problem.
Cause here's what I think is happening. All right. And I'm going to give you,
By the way, I'm going to sit like this the entire rest of the show. Look how broad I look when I sit like this. Wow.
Great.
Man's man podcast.
You're too big for that lens. And I know that for next time now. It works for everybody else. You do it. It's too much.
Sorry. Sorry, ladies of Slickback Studios.
I think I'll give you an idea of what people my age that are in my circles, you know, when we kind of discuss this. I think that there are a lot of people that, and I've said this on this show before, I think the Democrats kind of thought that whatever they were, you know, whatever Trump was going to be in court for was going to keep him out of the election, keep him out of the office. And it clearly is not going to happen. If it hasn't happened by now, we're running out of time.
Yeah.
So he is the candidate. I think there are enough people my age and younger that are still voting age that really hate Biden for a lot of reasons. One of them is the fact that he's just too old and he's presenting very old, even though Trump, I think, is actually older than him. I believe
the kids would say he's giving elderly.
Yeah, he's giving pile of sludge. Like
But he isn't.
I think he is.
As the elder statesman of Slickback Studios, he gives to me... For a generation raised on like Gandalf, that's where I.
You think Biden is Gandalf?
You know,
are you out of your mind?
The magic powers, obviously.
I don't see Gandalf at all. I see Cocoon.
We shall not win.
I don't think that people my age see that at all. I mean, like even dude, I watched him on Stern.
He should just have Ian McKellen making appearances with him, and just so people subliminally start thinking like. And Patrick Stewart, like all the old guys from movies we like.
No, but this is, he's too old. He's old. He feels, listen, and I think Trump is a year older than him, right?
No. Trump is 4 years younger.
Okay. They're in the ballpark, same age. But despite Trump being a pig and a bad guy, and I agree with you, probably the worst guy in any era that you put him in. He doesn't present as old as Biden does.
No, he doesn't.
Biden goes and does these interviews. And listen, that's not the only reason that people my age don't like him. Like the lefties in New York City and like places where I have friends and everything really think that he's mishandled the Palestine situation badly. And obviously that's not going to get any better with Trump. It'll probably get worse, to be honest.
Yeah.
But They haven't done anything to win the vote. And I actually think a lot of people my age and younger just won't vote. That's what I think is going
to
happen.
And what I will say before we get back to the trial, my problem with that is Biden has done a lot. He is not youthful enough to campaign correctly on it, but his list of accomplishments, he has an incredibly accomplished first term. But nobody wants to talk about he's only got 50 senators. He had 2 years to accomplish the biggest climate change bill we've ever had. He's canceled plenty of student debt. Somebody invented this myth that he said he was going to cancel student debt. He didn't, but he's canceled a lot targetedly. Mm-hmm. And when people go, oh, the Supreme Court stopped him from doing it. Right. Whose fucking fault is that? The people who didn't vote for Hillary Clinton in 2016.
Right.
I think Joe Biden's fault. Like, I feel like people want Biden to be this country is full of people who want, they don't want to have to pay attention. They don't want to have to read. They just want their issues satisfied. They want a dictator for their own side. Because that's easy. And at least the right is kind of like, yes, fuck all of you. We want him. Whereas the left is like, we don't like Trump, but we want to imagine a world that's perfect. And Joe Biden doesn't fit into that and isn't doing all the things I want because I never bothered to pay attention how laws are passed and how the Supreme Court works, et cetera, et cetera. So it bothers me first off that there is this kind of like the trial is having no effect. Like we are it's the same way I feel when I'm scrolling Facebook. And I forget sometimes that I'm following the Mars rover on Facebook. And every like 3 months.
What do you mean? Like NASA, the NASA page?
Yeah. No. The Mars rover feed from Mars. Where you like go, like, so instead I see people I fucking hate all the time going like, hey, I'm so sad or I'm so happy or everything's fucking great. Or blah, 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 I'm performing up my ass tomorrow. And then I'm like 3 months later, I'm like, oh. Facebook, why don't you show me the fucking camera feed from Mars more often?
Yeah.
How are we at a point where it's like, right. Oh yeah, there's a thing on Mars taking video. I mean, I guess like, that's cool. Like, I guess that was cool. Like once.
Yeah.
That would have been cool. Like once, but now it's like, I guess we're on Mars now.
Yeah. But all right. So this is the thing. A
president on trial for the first time in history. It's history. And nobody cares. And I think that is not just a Trump fatigue. I think there is a rot in our country of substance, of values, of integrity. Doesn't have to be religion, but I don't think they are not related.
Dude,
in the broad spectrum of societal needs and teaching values and teaching bigger than yourself kind of things. I don't think they're unrelated. I'm not saying it's a direct causation.
I think it is with younger people my age and younger, because you have 10 years on me ish roughly
45.
Yeah, all right, so 10 years. I think people my age and younger, there's a rot for sure. You're 100% right about that. And maybe some of it has to do with,
and not just young people, it's plenty of old people, there's plenty of but I feel like much like gender identity, as you keep ticking down in age, you see more and more.
Well, dude,
as a percentage.
But I think it has something to do with, it's probably like a little bit of the idea of turning your back on some kind of modern values and norms. But I think it's just a rise in overall cynicism that either any of these people are actually going to help us do anything and make anything better. Because, dude, I'm a millennial at this point. I've lived through enough of really bad shit where I've just been fucking slugging it out for 2 decades.
And you're not just talking about Rain on Your Parade podcast. No. you're describing other things also.
Yeah, dude. Like my life has been, and I know life is like this, and I'm not making myself out to be a victim. I think generationally, the millennials have really, really got fucked bad. And I think Gen Z is their reaction to that is you're not going to get me. You're not going to get me. I will work 9 to 5. I'm clocking out at 5. I will not work a minute more than I need to. I'm like, I think that their behavior is a reaction to my generation being like, oh, I worked really hard. I went to college. I took on $100,000 of debt and now I can't buy a house. I'm 35. I'm not married. I can't afford to have a kid. I can't do whatever. And I think that there is overall like 35 and under a lot of people that are just like, pick whoever you want. We're fucked either way. neither of these guys are going to help us. And I think that there is just a general cynicism where you didn't see it at even like the 2016 election. People were going crazy for Hillary. And even though she lost, people were going crazy for Trump, too. There is not, to me, there is not any excitement whatsoever about this election. It is just dread across the board. People are just like, it's either going to be four more years of a guy that looks like,
the poltergeist guy.
Yes. Yeah, seriously. Or the criminal. Like, take your pick. These are our two choices.
And what I would say that, see, because, and to me, history, what do they say? History doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. Whoever came up with that. It's a good saying, but whatever that means. Lyndon Johnson, the most consequential president since FDR. Like, Democrats are the big ticket people.
Probably.
And they changed society. Like Lyndon Johnson changed society. Yeah. And I've always said, I think he's on the Mount Rushmore of white guys who would get an N-word passed. That he already used.
You know, he said it.
But he already used it liberally, regardless of whether he was allowed to or not.
Yeah.
But when you look at what he did, and then Vietnam undid him. Right. But that's an example of, I would look at that election and say, now Vietnam was American bodies. Not that life is, of course, precious, and if we have a role that we are playing in the Middle East in terms of violence and famine, I understand. It was, but in Vietnam, it was lies, and it was tens of thousands of young American men.
Yeah.
That was the measure of what it took to topple an incredible domestic legacy.
Right.
It wasn't just, like, I would just say in the 60s, if he had passed Civil Rights Act, Medicare,
yeah,
Voting Rights Act, Fair Housing Act.
Yeah, yeah.
A foreign entanglement where it was like we were indirectly kind of response would have been like, well, I don't like that, but I certainly like the fact that his overall record is fucking bonkers.
Yeah.
Whereas with Biden, it feels like we're in this, we're now, we've developed as a people, I think shorter attention span. I think these are all related. I'm not saying it's one is a cause, but it's sort of like, well, when Biden wasn't fucking up Israel, however someone would want to portray it.
Yeah.
Well, where were you when he was passing the biggest climate change bill ever? Like, where was the, he's not doing anything for us people? It's because now people, it's social media. As everybody knows, you get a bigger rise out of something negative. Well, so nobody wants to celebrate the old guy accomplishing things. It was like crickets on Joe Biden so many people. And then Israel happened and it was like, he's a fucking monster. I hate him. Fuck him, you old piece of shit.
The Dems are doing, to me, again, this is my personal Mike Coscarelli analysis. The Dems are doing something that is very dumb to me, because it seems like they have lost like real liberal people. And I mean like people that are like more on the left. They're more disenfranchised than anybody else because of the Palestine situation. And I also think it's not fully his fault, but I mean, Roe versus Wade basically got overturned under his watch.
Oh, well, 17% of voters blame him.
No, I know, but this is what, all right, so he
17%.
It's not
60% of the people.
I know it's the Supreme Court.
A poll came out today saying 60% of Americans think we are in a recession. This is an ungovernable country, and I feel like Joe Biden is, it's fucking musical chairs. Everybody's got no fucking attention span, no empathy. I mean, they have empathy, a performative empathy.
Yes.
And they sit around, and Joe Biden's the one fucking holding the bag of like, but I did a bunch of stuff, Jack. And it's like, fuck you, we're done. You are a symbol of oppression, and you are the problem.
But here's the thing. You're not wrong about anything you're saying, and they had one chance to stop, to block that abortion, whatever the bill was in the House. Am I right about that early on?
Well, people have said nobody likes to blame Obama, but from what I've heard, Obama was the one who could have codified Roe v. Wade.
Right.
And it was Ruth Bader Ginsburg who could have retired when Obama's off. But she wanted Hillary Clinton to appoint her successor. Clearly, like she wanted the symbolism of that.
Of course.
But Biden.
No, I know. And that's the thing. I know it's Trump's Supreme Court that fucked that whole thing up. But, you know,
but people don't seem to realize you have a 50 Joe Biden. This is and I'm not saying everybody has to agree with everything he does or think everything he does is great or not even criticize him or be mad at certain things. But he had 50 votes in the Senate. That's a fucking tie. What he was able to thread through over 2 years with Kamala Harris being a tie breaking vote. One vote, Joe Manchin. One vote, yeah. Kyrsten Sinema. And you no longer have a majority. You right. no longer even have, you're not even able to pass anything. But people sort of ignore this, like, oh, you could have done. No, you couldn't have.
I know.
You can't.
I know. I know. There is this.
We are maxed out on our fucking 15 seconds of content and our rage and yes. our righteousness and our causes. And tank is on empty when it comes to knowledge of civics and how the country actually works, and that adults have to make compromises when you're dealing with 330 million other people, including, by the way, 74 million pieces of shit that voted for Donald Trump in 2020.
I know.
Like, it is, people are not living in reality. And I hate to be that guy because I'm in many ways, I will kill my own comedy career to do the righteous thing sometimes. But Joe Biden is the only alternative for anything good. And he is not, to me, he has done many good things, not just a few.
I know. I don't disagree with you. But I'm saying, I think, again, I'm in a more communist part of the internet than you are. And I think those people are out of spite going to not vote for him, which is not, I'm not supporting that. I'm just saying that's what I think is going to happen.
But with voting, I would say, you know, the calculation one could make is also, you know what, young people, almost always you disappoint in numbers at the voting. So from a practical standpoint, it's not the worst group for Joe Biden to lose. Of now, black men is a problem overall, but it's mostly, I think, young. Anyway, I want to get back to the trial, but
I'm just saying, I think that the thing that's going to be interesting is if the working class stays with him, because I don't know whether we're actually in a recession or not. If those people feel like we are, they're not going to vote for him. No, and that's like kind of like what the Democrats are banking on, right? This fucking Amtrak Joe is getting those people to vote for him. And those people are very easily swung.
If he loses, can I become Amtrak JL? Because I take Amtrak a lot.
Anyway, go back to what you're saying.
Well, the point is that's a lot more than I wanted to talk about the cynicism portion of this, because I think a trial of a president for committing crimes should be a very big deal. But like I said, the Mars rover isn't a big deal. So why the fuck should a president be? Nothing's a big deal. Oh, we're so, like, you try hard, you fucking whatever the word now would be for a guy who's like too eager or too.
Yeah,
that's where we are. It's cool to be fucking useless. But I think what bothers me about this trial in general is he's guilty. And the reason I said he's the white OJ, he's guilty.
Yeah.
Like, he is guilty. I think Michael Cohen may have lied, if I'm being honest, because I feel like Trump and Michael Cohen operated like a mob boss and his capo.
Yep.
You don't say, Michael, I need you to make the payments to this person for the election to stop the election from finding out that I fucked a whore in a golf club and she's got big tits and my wife was pregnant. Please stop that. Thank you. And Michael Cohen, Mr. Trump, I'll do that for you, Mr. Trump. I understand. And no, they have a second hand. Yes. They know what he wants. But he has to say on the stand, whether he was telling the truth or not, he has to just give them the magic words of like, yes, on the phone call, he said, take care of this for the election, you know, whatever he said. I don't believe that. But I also believe that this idea of like, you all know he's guilty. Like, you're going to find the legal reason to show how like, oh, look at me. Even though I think he's guilty, I don't think the case was made.
Right.
And it's like, the case has been made. You know, he's a piece of shit.
Legal gymnastics.
He works with fucking scumbags. Like letting him off the hook because he employs scumbags to do scumbag work is some fucking mental gymnastics.
Yeah,
to be like, I don't believe that Trump did it because even though he hired a fucking henchman to do dirty work for him and he didn't make a payoff on Stormy Daniels 10 years ago when his wife was pregnant, but suddenly he needed to pay it off before an election. Coincidental.
Yeah.
I look at this and I just think we all know he's guilty. And I think there's too many people who don't care. Like his supporters don't care because just like OJ, plenty of black people knew he was guilty, but there was a righteousness in seeing the system get fucked over.
Yes.
And that may be foreign to some people, but it's like, well, but if you've been, if you have been generationally mistreated by the police and law enforcement in your community and in your city,
yeah,
you don't mind them getting a middle finger.
Yeah.
OJ's not going to come kill you.
Right. Like, right, he's not, right. Like you're it's not a one-time thing.
You're not in danger of OJ.
Yeah.
And
he just wanted to kill his wife and a waiter.
Yeah. With Trump, it's they've convinced themselves, and I said this the other day, where it's like he is both, you know, he is God all powerful and also Jesus Christ on the cross. And they get to embrace that. They get to feel, they get that beautiful feeling of like, I'm a victim. Oh, but I'm also the fucking man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how's that?
Yeah, right.
But they've managed to do that sort of cognitive dissonance or whatever to be both victim and the man, him. I am him.
Yeah.
I am him. I just think we're in this position now. It's a fucking crazy place to be where it's like, I think he'll get convicted. And it will only bet like, and when people say like, should we have done this? What if he benefits from this? He's a criminal. Like, does anybody else get that benefit of the doubt? Like, but he'll be really mad.
It's like when they killed bin Laden and they were like,
terror, like Trump and MAGA. And this is this trial to me has exposed and the way people talk about it. We talk about MAGA. Here's your clip.
Okay.
We talk about MAGA like it's a political party, but we treat them like we would terrorists. Mm-hmm. Like, don't draw a picture of Muhammad and don't prosecute Trump because those respective communities will really get fucking crazy and violent if you do that.
Yeah.
And that is where we're at, where it's like this trial, he's clearly guilty. Does that mean Michael Cohen was completely honest? I don't know. Probably not. Probably wanted to deliver the smoking gun because he knows in his heart, of course, this is what he want me to do.
Yeah.
But he's a fucking mob boss posing as a politician. He doesn't go do this for me, please. And write. And I love how Trump was like, I said legal fees in the ledger for legal fees. They're prosecuting me for legal fees. Oh, can you just do that? Can you just write whatever you want for the crime? You know,
right.
OJ, I wrote lawn care
disturbance.
Yeah. My gardener maybe did it. Cause as you can see in my journal, it says lawn care,
right?
11 PM.
Right. Right.
So what do you want? But we are, as I think this trial has exposed, the way OJ exposed things about our, you know, kind of led us into a reality TV world and exposed a lot of racial differences and like really brought a lot of racial wounds to the surface. Trump's trial, people ignoring it to me has shown how cynical, truly cynical we've become, posing as some sort of like higher calling, but it's just cynicism.
Mm-hmm.
And the man is guilty and we don't care. And I think guilty or innocent, the way we've treated this trial as a society is like, I've said this before, we're done. It's just when is it official?
Yeah.
But if we can't find meaning in this and value in this, you know, Marx or whatever said, you know, religion is the opiate of the masses. Content is now has replaced religion. If you want to take that viewpoint of religion, it's content. It's constantly having our minds filled with everything. We can no longer focus on important things. And in fact, it might be altering us to the point where we don't even care about the important things, unless they're the important thing du jour, you know. Gaza, for instance. I'm not saying people don't have genuine things, but like, you know, nobody fucking gave a hoot about all the good things Biden was doing, but they sure showed up the minute he had something they perceived as bad. Yeah, but so is climate change. And you'd think that would be something, but you say you know, but it didn't get anything. It was just like, oh, a bill was passed.
I know, yay. But I don't think they're equivalent, in my opinion. I think the bad of of
when the millions are drowning on the coasts, Mike, let's revisit this episode.
No, listen, the climate, obviously climate, we're doing things to, affect climate change, and, try to slow it down.
What do people think Joe Biden, and then we'll, because then we just end the episode.
No comedy stuff?
What do people, maybe 2 minutes. Okay. What do people think Joe Biden should have done here that Congress wouldn't have overridden a veto of his? Because left and right, there's strong Israel support and left and right.
Yeah.
Joe Biden, to me, did all he could really do, maybe not as quickly, but I think he miscalculated how big a piece of shit Bibi Netanyahu is.
Sure.
And there's a great, in the New York Times Magazine this past Sunday, an epic article on like the far right in Israel. Mm-hmm. It is, I highly recommend people, it's a read, but it is... There are some horrific pieces of shit, like terrorists, basically far right terrorists in the high levels of the Netanyahu government. That's the deal he made to stay in power and avoid prosecution.
Right.
Remind anybody of anyone? Kind of foreshadowing, you know, just like we take reboots of shows abroad and make them our own. Israel. Netanyahu is like the, hey, what if we adapted that, but called it Trump 2025?
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I like the original better. They did it so much better in Israel. Here it was way more racist. Not as subtle, not as clever as maybe not, but I just, like Biden, I think his calculation and real world diplomacy is ugly.
Yeah.
Like that's, I mean, people don't sort of acknowledge that. They just kind of think it's wrong, therefore no more. I think he believed this is our ally. Like I can't disregard that and I'm not going to. But maybe if I give them that full throated support, get the Israeli people believing in me as a leader, which they did, his numbers in Israel were higher, way higher than Netanyahu's approval ratings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then maybe I can have some influence.
Yeah.
And that is the best you can honestly hope for from an American president and an American regime. I don't think there's anybody who could get elected who would be like, we're cutting ties. Bye bye, BB.
I understand all of that. And I think politically it's an incredibly difficult spot to be in. And I also, we've talked about it before. My viewpoint of it, Israel, of course, has its right to defend itself. And this was Israel overplayed their hand. I mean, like when that attack happened and when Hamas attacked them the first time, the whole world was fucking posting things, you know, our heart is with Israel or whatever. But
not anti-Semites.
Well, not anti-Semites,
of course.
Who are
waiting for October 13th.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm dead serious. Like, I got a lot of, you know, I'm sure Kyrie Irving was blowing up social media on October 14th.
Finally. Yeah, right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. But I think as you've started to kind of see it play out, the fact that the entire world sort of condemned what Israel was doing, it feels like optically it's very hard for us to back the Ukraine and what's happening with Russia invading them and then also back Israel, who it's not quite the same thing, but optically it doesn't look very different.
Right.
Israel is seemingly cleansing that region, you know, and I don't think that conflict's going to end until they get to annex whatever part of Gaza they're trying to annex, which is kind of what Putin is doing in a lot of ways. So it's a bit of a folly, don't you think? I know he's in a tough spot, but that's why he's the president. He's got to make the decision at some point to condemn.
But I think he has been moving in that direction, but that our country has such a complicated
relationship.
It will hurt him. Like, he will be hurt either way. That's also the thing that I think people don't realize is that, like, I think he's trying to make the best decision he can and that he doesn't like what's going on. And he's become more, he's pulled more and more away from Netanyahu, but people kind of act like it was like, oh, on day one, he was supposed to just go, no, you're wrong. And I think there is, not to go Bill Maher here, certainly, but I do think that I think there are times where it does feel like there is a little bit of a double standard in terms of like Israel must never, ever do any wrong during its defense of itself.
I agree. And I agree with you 100%. And I do think that that is an unfair spot for Israel to be in because they do get attacked often enough.
But Netanyahu's got a gut. Like Netanyahu, that's the biggest problem is he's like, he has terrorists.
Yeah.
And I'm not the guy who's like, he has terrorists.
Yeah.
At high levels of his administration. Yeah. Like this article in the New York Times magazine, I'm telling you, it's like, these are bad people. Now there's good people in his administration. Like some of the ones saying I'm a fucking bounce. If you don't come up with like a plan right away to like, fix this in a little more and secure the peace. But like his highest level, the people he needed to win the election, basically to be prime minister again, are the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
But the point is, Trump's trial.
Yeah.
This sounded more like Biden's trial, to be honest.
I know it.
In a way it is, which that's what an election is, sort of.
Yeah.
But I just think, and I really do believe, I'm going to hammer it one more time, the Mars rover. I can watch the Mars rover on Facebook, but Facebook shows me that like once every 3 months.
Right.
And they show me a bunch of dumb fucks twice a day.
Yeah.
And when it comes to Trump's trial, I hope if we still have books and people who can read in future generations, that this will be a landmark moment and not something that is viewed, in like warped history books by Barron Trump's fourth term in office.
Yeah, yeah.
As like, this is the time they almost tried to conquer freedom.
Right.
And we fought back nobly.
It's a fair, it's a fair fear.
Because this guy deserves to be in jail. He is not worthy of the presidency. And I just wish people would grow up and, people act like if I don't vote for Biden, then the blood Trump will generate is not on my hands.
Right. It's true.
And that's fucking silly.
Sure.
So, Trump's trial, I look forward to hopefully more and watch if he loses by some Coscarelli miracle. And
I'm not hoping for it.
I'm saying you don't think he's going to win. So I do think, but I don't think it's as clear cut slam dunk as I would like it to be.
Yeah.
If Trump does lose, oh boy, the rats will flee the ship and Trump will be prosecuted and fucking gang raped by November 2025 in prison.
Yeah.
It's a rat. Yeah. They'll be like, oh, I never supported him. The law is the law. All right.
Right.
Now that I'm not going to be like head of a protectorate or something. Yeah. The law's not that we have laws in this country and I abide by it by Trump. And
so wait, hold on. Before we wrap, legally speaking, you would know this better than I would. If he wins and loses and doesn't get into office for the second time this time around, could he run again? He can, right?
Yeah. You just can't serve more than two terms.
Right. Okay. That's what I thought.
I'm curious to see him run at 82 years old.
Well, but that's the thing. You're just saying if he loses this time, then it's like, then the run is over.
But is it?
Well, that's the thing.
Like, in other words, if he's
like Palpatine, he never goes away.
If he still has a stranglehold on 20% of Republicans, 19 will join.
Right.
I'm going to be the guy. Right. Like, wait, I got 3%. You got 2%. Right. How much did Trump get? 21%. He's the nominee again at 82.
Right.
Blonde hair.
Yeah.
Fourth wife. Jerk off dance.
Yeah.
It's done. No comedy talk. We talked too much about this and we all have to go places. But quick recommendation here. Take one break.
Quick.
Break. We'll be back with a very quick comedy talk. And we're back, folks. Just a quick recommendation. I'll do a more traditional comedy section next week, of course.
Yeah.
But Conan O'Brien Must Go on Max, formerly known as HBO Max.
Yeah.
I loved it. I was never a huge Conan guy. I was not anti-Conan. I love this show. It's only 4 episodes. He travels to 4 different countries. It's really, really funny. So we just talked about some serious, dire stuff. I came in here hot.
Yeah.
We got hotter with trial and politics.
Yeah, yeah.
Conan O'Brien, perfect palate cleanser. It's just light, but really funny. So go watch that. Rate and review the show on your favorite podcast app. Leave a comment on YouTube. Subscribe to my YouTube channel so you're always aware when it goes up. Don't know yet if we're going to be doing the boys recaps. We only got a couple weeks before we decide.
Oh, we got to figure that out.
Yeah.
That might be coming.
We may. But thank you for listening to this. We appreciate it. And I will see you next Thursday.